Right. It sure is good to be here. Amen. If you will, take your Bibles tonight. I don't know what to say other than God's good. It's good to be saved. It's good to see God work. Amen. Good to see God answer prayer. And the Lord's been doing a lot in our lives and the life of this church. And praise the Lord, He's still on the throne. My wife wanted to... hey, Alan, could you crank it up a little bit there? Let's see, there's a couple things. We have a sign-up sheet. I don't know, sign-up. But if you want to get on our prayer letter mailing list that comes out once every 6 months. but just put your email back there and we'll put you on the list. And you can get it, like say, when it comes out. And then there's some books back there. We got the Israel book. Alan, can she sing a little bit higher, please? Crank that up. Thank you. But we've got the Israel book that just came in, and prayer cards, and some other things back there as well. So if you can avail yourselves of those, thank you very much. Be a real blessing. All right, if you will, take your Bibles, go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, we'll read, and then we'll go to the book of Ecclesiastes. But Job chapter 1 is where we'll start from. I think I'll just read this, I'll pray, and then we'll go to Ecclesiastes. It's amazing just to preach here. This is one of there's a few meetings that it's just like I just want to stay seated. You know, it's just look, y'all preach, I'll just stay seated. Feel very unworthy to be up here. I really do. And I just thank God for the privilege to be here. And to preach, and my prayer and desire is that y'all be blessed, get what you need, and just keep praying, pray the Lord show up, lead, guide, and direct, and all that's said and done. And we need Him. We need Him. Amen. Job 1, and let's start in verse 6. Job 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, God, just thank you for the privilege of being a Bible-believing church. That these words we just read, we know those are the holy words of God. Father, so many churches around here, around the world, they don't even know where your words are. God, you've been so good to us. Thank you. Lord, I am nothing. I am but flesh. And I pray, God, that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray you bless the message. Bless Brother Del Grande as he comes up after me. Lord God, just guide the services tonight. And Lord, as you deal with our hearts, I pray, God, we would submit to you and not harden ourselves against thee. But God, I just ask you, please fill me, preach through me tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to Ecclesiastes 10. And there in Job, Satan's talking about God's made a hedge around Job. A hedge around Job. And I want to preach tonight on the subject of the broken hedge. The broken hedge. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 10:8, the Bible says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And a hedge is a barrier. A hedge is something. Job had a hedge about him, and as long as God kept that hedge up, Job was safe from the devil, and he was protected. And hedges are dividers. Hedges will. Now, there's not a lot of hedges in America. We got fences, but not really hedges. Hedges are, they actually build hedges. They're generally plants, usually thorny plants, holly bushes, thistles, things like that, to keep the animals, to make a division of fields, keep animals in a certain field, that sort of thing. I guess the modern hedge would be barbed wire, I guess you might say, something like that. But they'll divide a field from a road, keep the animals out of the road, that sort of thing. But they're dividers. They're dividers. A hedge is a divider. The tallest hedge in the world, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, is the Marclear Beech Hedges. They're in Scotland, and they're beech trees. They were planted in 1745 by Gene Mercer. They're 98 feet high. That's almost, is that almost 10 stories? That's some big trees, boy. I mean, but that's the tallest hedge. In ancient warfare, there was what's called pikemen. And you've probably seen them, but they had the big, long spears. It said they're from 10 to 25 feet long. That's a long spear, man. But they would carry those things straight up. You know, they'd be marching. And they could be in the middle of a field with an enemy coming. And they would form a square. They'd just run after another of them pikes, go all the way around. And they would build a hedge around there. The cavalry and the infantry get in the center of that thing. And they could hold them off. They could fight. And it was a hedge. It was a protection against danger, against the enemy. And, you know, before sin entered the world or entered creation, there was no division. There was no division. You see, as long as there's sin, there's got to be division. But when there's no sin, there's no need of division. There's no need of separation, that sort of thing. When we get to heaven, there'll be no divisions. There'll be no separations. Not like it is now. To me, that's a wonderful thought. God divided the light from the darkness. When there's no darkness, it doesn't have to be division. And, the barrier's there as long as there's sin, and we live in a world full of sin. We live in bodies full of sin. And after the fall, then sin enters, there's got to be barriers. And in this age, those barriers are viewed as a challenge. The Ten Commandments are viewed as a challenge. If you have children, and if you're doing your job, you're going to set barriers for your children. Now, there's a lot of Americans nowadays, they don't want the conflict, they don't want the battle, so they just have no barriers. And they just raise them with no barriers. Why? Well, I'm going to be your buddy, or I'm going to be your friend. But they don't want barriers because they don't want to be the bad guy. They don't want to have to enforce something that the child might disagree with. But there's a need for barriers, and I remember when my son was, he's two, thank you. guys don't remember those things, not generally speaking. He was small. And anyway, but we had moved into this one-bedroom apartment, and I had some friends that their child had reached up and pulled a pot of hot oil off the stove onto himself and burned him very badly. And I'd never forgot that, and that stuck in my mind. So we're in this one-bedroom apartment. Everything's carpeted except the kitchen and the bathroom. And it's basically, you know, just a hallway and then the, you know, rooms going off the side and that sort of thing. And so I pulled Nathan over. He was old enough to know. And I said, Nathan, I said, when Mama's cooking, it's, breakfast or supper or whatever. She's in there cooking. You're not cross that line. And it was very easy. It was carpet or linoleum. So it was a very plain, very easy barrier to view. And I said, no, don't go over that when she's cooking. Do you understand? Make sure, you know, he understands the whole thing, you know. And I knew as soon as you put a barrier down, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And so I acted like I was doing something. I knew exactly where he was. I was just aware. Why was I doing it? For his good. For his safety. You know. And I'm aware. I watched him. Just a little guy, man, 2 years old. And he acted like he was doing something. But I knew what he was doing because every step he took got him closer to the barrier. And I watched him and he just kind of you know, just kind of walking around, look at everything, you know, and I acted like I'm busy. I watched it 2 years old, walked over to that thing, you know, and he just kind of looked over at, see if I was watching, and he just kind of went, sucks foot out. Just like that, man. Just like that. Man, I came over, I said, neither I said no. You know, I said, you're not to do that, you know. And I knew I was going to have, I was going to be challenged. And those barriers, they're for your good. And there's barriers in this life. And the modern attitude getting more and more is, think outside the box. Let's think outside the box. No, I don't want to think outside the box. I want to get in the box. I want to be within the barriers that God has set up for me and for my safety and for my good and for His glory. But nowadays, it's just, let's get outside the box. Let's get outside the box. It's an age of rebellion. It's in the nation. It's in the homes. It's in the churches. And if you're not careful, it's going to be in you, and you're going to end up crossing barriers. And when you do, there's a serpent in there, and he's going to get you if you're not careful, and you're going to regret crossing those barriers. God set up barriers, and you need to just say, okay, God, what's the barriers? I'm content right here. But I'll tell you, this age, it's like, let's, you know, there. God, I got away with that. Okay, let's do it again. Oh, I just, see, I'm standing in here now. Up, you know, and just little by little, you're going to end up in a mess. You don't end up, listen, God's way is the best way. God's way is the right way. And God's way works. And boy, they're just trying to bust through it. See, we're okay. And man, the serpent's just going, he's wreaking havoc in America. He's wreaking havoc in the homes. He's wreaking havoc in the churches. And they think, well, it's not so bad. And they're dying. You say, what's the barriers? I just want to preach on some barriers that God has set up. And one of those barriers is marriage. And that thing is being attacked right and left. I mean, the sodomites are just out there just attacking it. Well, we want acceptance. You're just so narrow-minded. I mean, you know, you're in the last days, and it's a mess when it's a big bold stand to say, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, and people just go bonkers. You know, they're just going crazy, man. I mean, it's a mess. God set that barrier up to protect you. It's a picture of heaven. And then they're busting through that thing. And you know what? Sodomites can't get married. I mean, there can be a ceremony. But there's no two dykes going to be able to get married. You have to think about that. I'm not going any farther. And two guys, that's just perversion. Amen, amen, amen. They just bust through that thing. Oh, marriage is just all, you know, bust through it. And then venereal disease and wickedness and AIDS and junk just going right and left. I mean, the serpent, he's just having him a time saying, oh yeah, go. And he's just biting people and it's an absolute mess. They busted through and it released the serpent to do his work. But you better get married and stay married and guard that thing, because the devil wants to bust that thing up. You young people here tonight, you better keep yourselves pure. You better keep your body pure and wait until God sends you the right one. Listen, if you step out, you fornicate right now. You're stepping out on your spouse ahead of time. Amen. You better wait on that thing and keep yourself clean and keep yourself right. You better watch out or a serpent's going to get you. The devil will mess you up. He said, well, you're just trying to scare me. You don't have any sense. That's God's way. You think, well, you're just trying to restrict me. Whether I'm trying to restrict you or not, God said that it's a man and a woman and you'll be married and true to each other. Amen, amen, amen. That thing's getting busted up, and the sodomites out there, they did a study. The Netherlands was the first nation to legalize sodomite marriage. And they did a study, and the average length of marriage, 2.25 years. That was the average. They said rarely were they ever true to each other, nor did they even intend to be. There it is, man. And suicide rate and all that junk. What's that? That's just one avenue of them trying to bust down the barrier of marriage and destroy that institution. And it just turns into anarchy and chaos and broken hearts and broken lives and sickness and disease and wickedness. Why? Because the barrier that God set up, I mean, one of the very first barriers in the Word of God, is under attack. It's always been under attack, but it's just Laodicea, and you know, as it goes, there it is. But marriage, I mean, the world looks at marriage as prison, and marriage isn't prison, marriage is freedom. So the world has a weird way of looking at it. Marriage is freedom. See, what do you mean? To the world it may appear as a prison, but marriage is freedom to love. I mean real love. You know, not lust. Real love. Marriage is freedom of intimacy without a guilty conscience. Marriage is freedom of companionship, a freedom of fulfillment, a freedom of legacy. You have children. Marriage is true freedom. And they say, well, I'm free. You know, the 60th generation and on, well, I'm free. We can just do this and that. And they end up in bondage. It's the truth that makes you free. The Son of God, you get within the barriers that God set up, you'd be surprised the freedom that you have in those barriers. You say, well, that doesn't sound, preacher, that just doesn't sound right. That's because your thinking's messed up. It's a spiritual thing. But boy, they're trying to bust that thing up. Science with evolution, all that stuff. That barrier there of marriage. You better protect that thing and guard that thing. I'll tell you, because it's under attack. And boy, when it goes, the devil comes in there and just wreaks havoc. People end up going to hell. It's a mess. Absolute mess. You take, there's a barrier. There's all kinds of barriers nowadays getting under attack. And this one is the barrier of, I don't know what it would be, I guess your body and soul. But, I mean, we're in the last days. And there's some weird stuff going on. And, you're not going to be tempted at any of this stuff, but it just shows you the signs of the times. But the barrier between animal and human. I mean, the barrier between male and female is trying to be overturned. They're trying to say, well, there's no difference in, you know, you can be a man or a woman and bust through all those barriers. I mean, that just opens up the door for the devil to work like mad, man. I mean, people, their sexual identity and all that junk, they're just full of the devil. Man, they're one way and they automatically think, well, it must be better that way. It's just an absolute mess. I hope y'all aren't getting messed up in that junk. Junk, some of the junk you're watching, it's gonna mess you up, you keep it up. And the music you listen to, and all that stuff, I mean, it's all around us. You better keep the barriers up. I mean, very idea thing. Well, I want to be a woman if you're a man, you know. I want to be a man and not a woman. Well, I mean, you're full of devil. That is not God. That's not the Spirit of God. You're just really messed up. And you need to get in that book and get walking with God and get satisfied with Jesus Christ. Sin will never make you happy. Amen. Amen, amen. And the flesh will never be satisfied with sin. But they're crossing the boundary between human and animal now. And they're graying it out. I mean, there's always been a barrier there, but you read things in the Old Testament, in the law, about the various things going on and lying down with an animal and all this stuff, and it's like, this is weird stuff. And now, you know, you look around, it's like, well, okay, I see why it's there, you know, stuff like that, but it's a mess. The experiments that are going on right now in laboratories around the world are crossing spiritual boundaries. Stuff going on, just weird stuff. I mean, weird stuff. And I just got a couple things here on that thing. But This is from Reuters. This is 2009 by Faye Schlesinger. Sounds like a Jew. But it talks about cloning. And the cloned child is coming. And this is 09, might already be here. It talks about them trying to clone people. And it says here there's a doctor by the name of Paniatos Zabos. He practices in Kentucky and Cyprus. He's actually from Cyprus. And they're trying to produce a baby clone from the skin cells of its parent. So they take some cells from the skin of a man or woman. And then they take those cells and they... Now, what they're doing, doesn't say right here, and does down a little bit farther, they'll take those things and implant the DNA in a cow's egg. Isn't that weird? A cow. Why a cow? Why not a, I don't know, why not a lemur or an ape or, you know, a cow? Isn't that weird? And they're trying to create a human. Well, that isn't going to be a human. There's no way that's going to be a human. And besides, if they took the skin cells and used a human egg, and that thing began to grow and it was born, would it have a soul? Isn't that weird? That's weird time. What are they doing? They're busting through hedges, and there's a serpent in there. There's a serpent in there. And they're trying to play God. He said here, this is Zabos, he says, there's absolutely no doubt about it, and it may not be the one that does it. He had planted 100 in various people. Let's see here. That this was just the first chapter in a serious attempts at producing a baby clone from skin cells. No doubt about its first chapter. Clone child is coming. There is absolutely no way that it will not happen. He said it's just a matter of time. And then he says this. Now this guy's a fertility specialist. You know, couples that can't have kids, so they're going to this guy. And he has more patients than he knows what to do with. And they're asking him to use the same cloning technique that was used to create Dolly. Remember Dolly? Remember the sheep over in England? They're saying, you know, why don't you use that technique? Now he says here, the author does, it took 277 attempts to create Dolly. And when they did, Dolly was diseased and was not a healthy sheep and died early. And yet these parents are trying to get a cloned human the same way they did Dolly. They're not thinking right, man. They're not thinking right. And Zabos has a woman who had a little girl, and her name is Katie. Katie, the little girl, died in a car crash, and it says, Katie, the little girl in 2002 car crash, who could live again. No, she's not. She's not going to live again. But he'll tell that hurting mama. He said, I got some blood here, and we can do some things here, and we can bring it just as if she'd never died. And that woman's emotions are going, oh, could you please, doctor, oh, please, and try to clone this little girl, and that little grows up, and there's no telling what it'd turn into. Can you imagine that? He froze some of her blood cells and combined them with cow eggs. That ain't going to be her little girl. Man, that's an 02. That's 10 years ago, man. What are they doing? They're busting through hedges. You haven't seen nothing yet. I mean, the stuff that's going on, they have mixed human blood and pig blood in a pig. And they have found out that the human blood cells and the pig blood cells will fuse together and become a hybrid blood cell. They said this is important because we wanted to know if the viruses that pigs get could be transferred to humans. Remember, it says over there in Matthew 24, a pestilence, disease, all that stuff, signs of the coming. Man, they're busting through hedges, and stuff's going to bust out of there. The serpent's going to break out of there. It's going to be a mess, man. I mean, all that stuff, doing that, you know, pig viruses, people getting sick. Ishmael Zanjani, chairman of animal biotechnology at the University of Nevada at Reno, says that they've been adding human stem cells to sheep fetuses. The team now has sheep whose livers are 80% human and make all the compounds human livers make. And they're trying, you know, we can do liver transplants and all that stuff. Man, I don't know about that. I don't know, man. I mean, I remember reading this story about this patient got a liver, and it was the patient didn't know how to play the piano, but the one that donated the liver, they took this liver from somebody they'd gotten a wreck or something like that, and they were like classical pianist, and that liver got put in this person. They didn't know how to play piano. 6 months later, they sat down at a piano and played just like the one that had the liver. Now you start getting in that stuff, man. You're crossing boundaries. You're in hedges. You're busting through. And man, the serpent's in there and he's going to start biting. I'll tell you what, it's an absolute mess, the stuff that's going on. Let me one more here. This is from Stanford. I mean, that Jeffrey Platt, that's Mayo Clinic. These aren't weirdo places, man. These are mainstream medical facilities that are doing all this stuff. Here down in this is Weissman. I think he's Irving Weissman, director of Stanford University's Institute of Cancer, Stem Cell Biology and Medicine. And he says they made the first human embryo clone. Well, here it is in America. And let it develop for 12 days. So they had one going. It was growing. Before destroying it. And then they just killed an embryo. In a normal pregnancy, the embryo implants into the womb wall after 14 days. It is believed that this Weissman used a cow's egg to get that thing going. Why a cow? Man, if you know your Bible, there's some things in there, man. But why a cow? I mean, human and animal. Man, we're getting ready to have satyrs and all kinds of junk coming out. I'm just saying, folks, I mean, you know, you're not going to be tempted with this stuff, I hope. But I mean, man, they're busting through hedges. Man, we are in the last days. The Lord's coming. But by the grace of God, as Bible believers, you better find the hedges that God said up and stay within those hedges where God wants you to be. And you bust through that thing, end up in a real mess, man. And you take they're busting through that thing, science and the spirit world and all that junk and getting into all that stuff. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but it's an absolute mess. And it's an absolute mess what's going on in Bible believing churches. And stuff. And I hope none of you are messing with witchcraft. I hope none of you are messing with that junk. It's so subtle. And I'm watching churches die. I'm watching churches that are using divination and enchantments. And they can't figure out why their church is dead. And people are leaving. And they're dying. Then you got Bible believers that are manipulating their key. And then all this junk. You got doctors. Man, I talked to a doctor. And he said in the operating room, they said, we don't know how that stuff works. He was a Bible believer. He said, I don't do it. He said, but I've been in operating rooms and they've had people in there doing the Reiki and stuff while the patient's out and they're doing all this junk on him. And I don't know if the patient knew it was going to happen or not. But I'll tell you, it's an absolute mess what's going on. You better stay within the boundaries God set. Man, it's just crazy, man. In Hollywood, you take the boundary of the mind, the eyes, the light of the body's the eye, the stuff that's going over in movies and the television, man, there's kids 5 years old that 100 years ago, people didn't see stuff that they've seen, they never saw anything like that all of their life. Some of you are watching stuff and taking that stuff in and just look at, take your Bibles, go to Psalms 11. You better get in the boundaries that God set for you where you can be safe. Look at Psalms 11. The e-games, the movies, TV, all that junk, man, the electronic amusements, all that stuff. Look at this thing here, Psalms 11, look at verse 5, the Bible says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence." Look at what it says. His soul hateth. That's what the Bible says. Oh, I can't wait to get home and play my game, and just get online, and we're just blowing things up. That's just violence, 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 violence. That grieves the Spirit of God. It quenches the Spirit of God. Oh, I can't wait to see this movie. What is it? It's violence, violence. It's just Rambo. Oh, there's no sex or anything in it, but it's just violence, I've had preachers say, "Oh man, come on over and we're going to watch this movie." What is it? Now I've gotten to the point that, "No, I'll bring something." And then they fall asleep. they just like, that was Patriot, Oh, I like it. I thought it's just sick, man. And just all this violence, violence, violence. Listen, take your Bibles, go to Genesis 6. Some of you are watching that stuff and blowing things up. Oh, it's just a game. It's just a game. It's going through your eye. But you don't need no imagination to play that stuff. That stuff spells it out. Those Halo games and just the World of Warcraft and all that junk. Man, it's just for the devil. They're just steeping you in witchcraft and wickedness and violence and quenching the Spirit of God. Man, you need to repent of watching that stuff. That's just violence. You need to get your heart right. You need to knock it off. Where am I? Genesis 6. Genesis 6, verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Look at verse 13. "God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them." Some of you are watching stuff and playing stuff that's nothing but blood and violence and blood and violence, and God hates it. And you need to knock it off and get something godly going through those eyes and something godly going through those ears. You take when Elvis was first on TV, they wouldn't show him from the waist down. And some of you are thinking, "Yeah, you're so hard. You're so jaded. You think, oh, that's just crazy." That's because you're ungodly. And the secular television was more spiritual then than you are now. And the stuff going on, the Dick Van Dyke Show, they were married, and when it was a bedroom scene, they were in separate beds. All black and white, say, "Oh, yeah, you're just so hard. You think it's nothing, you think it's crazy. I'll tell you what, your back's and you're not right. What happened to holiness? What happened to purity? What happened to some barriers and division so that you live right and live clean and do right?" Thank God, brother, you're going up there to that youth meeting and preaching on purity. Man, the young people today, they're losing their purity earlier and earlier. earlier. It's an absolute mess. My wife, she found this story. It's a sicko story. 14-year-old girl was pregnant, and she dressed loose. Nobody knew she was pregnant. At least Mama didn't. Daddy was nowhere to be found. Obviously, from the story, she gave birth over the toilet and strangled the baby. And when she got done the first time, she checked for a pulse. It was still beating, so she strangled it again till it was dead. 14 years old. Well, she's thinking, well, you know, a month or two earlier, I could have had an abortion. It's a mess, man. You better get within the barriers God set up. You better not set a wicked thing before your eyes. Get your mind thinking right, doing right, or you're going to bust through some barriers, and the serpent's going to get you, and you're going to come crying to the preacher, but there's nothing he's going to be able to do. You've already messed your life up. God set those barriers there for your good and for His glory. It's not a challenge to say, okay, I know preachers against it, but you know what we did the other night? Nobody knows. The eyes of the Lord in every place. Beholding the evil and the good. God set up barriers. I'll tell you something else. God set up a barrier between the church and the world. Well, it ought to be there anyway. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He says, come out, come out, come out, be separate. Listen, we need to get out of Egypt. I mean, God's people are looking like the world, smelling like the world, talking like the world. Their music sounds like the world. Man, they're just down in Egypt, just messing around, carnal, flesh. It's just an absolute mess. It's time to get out of the world and live like a Christian and do right. Man, if you love God, you want to please Him. All this stuff, just modern Christianity. You take who is that Rick Warren? That guy's full of the devil, man. Say, let's think outside the box for our church, and we don't have to have the old King James and those old hymns. Man, we're going to have a concert every morning, and we're going to do it this way, and we're going to break it up and twist it all around, and we're going to step outside the box, and you got an absolute mess. There's no doctrine. They don't know where the Word of God is. Absolute mess. Those people, they don't look any different, they don't dress any different, they don't sound any different. They're just looking like the world. You can't tell God's people from the world's people. It's just an absolute mess. There's no telling what infiltrations are. I mean, it's just a mess. Man, you're to be different than the world. You're to be separate from the world. Man, the Mormons are clearer than most of God's people. I mean, you gotta dress right. Just, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what fellowship have light with darkness? I mean, God's people now just getting into booze and starting to drink and all that junk. Say, well, it's just some cooking sherry or it's just cooking wine. How do you buy it? How do you put that stuff in your cart? Well, that Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, you know, it's just for cooking and all that stuff. You can't do without it. Like one lady said, now this is years, I mean this is decades ago, she said, why would I even want my children to get accustomed to the flavor? I mean, booze, well, we'll just have a little bit. Yeah, I know it started out with O'Doul's, huh? Near beer, something like that. Say, well, you know, it's non-alcoholic, you know, or all that stuff. I mean, just people bringing that stuff in, tattoos. Well, I'll just get a tattoo and I'll just, nobody will know it's there, you know, I'll put it somewhere, but you know, and then I can flash it to somebody and I'm preaching it. No, you know, you're a mess, man. All that junk cutting on your bodies and all that stuff, the Bible's against that thing. Man, looking like the world, that's just devils working on you. It ain't the Spirit of God. Drugs, clothes. Then it's time to get out of Egypt. It's time to put a barrier between you and the world. And I'll tell you, busting through that stuff. You bust through that thing between the world and you, and man, fornication goes up, and just wickedness goes up. You start cussing. You start doing all the stuff that the world's doing. That Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. You get messing around with evil communications, and man, you're going down. It's time to repent and live godly and live right for your Savior. In a wicked world, man, it's dark times. You say, well, I'm trying. Good. I mean, without God, we can do nothing. I understand that. I'm not saying I'm perfect, because I'm not. But there's a hedge, and there's a goal, and we ought to be striving for a better walk with God, and for holiness, and that I might please Him, and be more godly, and do right. But boy, nowadays, busting through. And that old serpent, just biting and just wreaking havoc. There's hedges that God set up. Get in those hedges. Get where God wants you to be and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That's where you're going to be free. That's where you're going to be happy. That's where things are going to work. Why? Because God designed you to be there. God set it up that way. There's one last hedge that once you get it around you, Satan's not going to break through. See, what was that? That's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, when you repent of your sins and you're born again, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, and you get on the other side of that blood, and let me tell you, the serpent is not going to break through. You're not going to break out. I mean, you're safe when you're on the other side of the hedge of the blood of the Lamb. You'll be going to heaven. Thank God you're safe there. But I'll tell you, man, it's a rebellious age. God set up hedges. And your duty is to find out where those hedges are and say, okay, God, this is where I want to stay for you and do right. Some of you have been trying to break through them and bust through them and think, well, I'm getting away with it. You're not going to get away with it. You are not going to get away with it. You're going to end up weeping someday and wish you hadn't have done it. You need to repent. You need to get on the other side of that hedge where God is. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the message. Lord, you're a good God. Those hedges aren't there to torture us or just because you're a big meanie. That's what the devil wants us to think. Lord, you're doing that for our good. Marriage, purity, godliness, a clean mind, a clean heart, a clean church, a clean life. God, would you please help us? Bless the message, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor.